one out, so I'm going to review with you from this sefer called Shulchan Mesudar. We once used this before. He has just a collection of halachas on Rosh Hashanah. We'll go through very quickly the entire Seder Hayom HaChazara of what we've spent the last 2 weeks learning, bits and pieces here and there. We'll try to recall from him. If you close the door, Mr. Cohen, close the door. There's so much noise pollution wherever you go today. That's life. Okay. So let's discuss some basic halachas. Okay, so right now we're holding almost Erev Rosh Hashanah. First thing we have to be aware, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do not blow shofar. Why do we not blow shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah? There are two reasons. It's pshat and kabbalah. What's pshat? Pshat, you always have to know, before you do kabbalah, you have to know pshat. Lahavdil between the tekiyos derishus and the tekiyos shol mitzvah. The tekiyos for the entire chodesh elah, tekiyos derishus. There is no mitzvah, it's nothing more than a minuk. And this is a very big problem in our generation. We are confused. Unfortunately, more often than not, we get confused. Our priorities are not in order. We forget what are the ikur and what is the tafel. To blow shofar during Chodesh Elul is not an ikur, it's nothing more than a minuk. For example, if you do not hear shofar during Shachos, if you daven b'yechidus, according to the vast majority of poskim, there is absolutely no requirement of you to go hear a shofar. If you daven, for whatever reason, you can't make a minyan, you daven at home, you do not have to hear, but you go and take out a shofar and blow a shofar. Absolutely not. You don't have to go to shul to hear a shofar. It's nothing more than a minyan. If a tzibur does not hear a shofar, there's a possibility that there's a good idea that you should blow a shofar during mincha. In fact, there are some places they blow a shofar every day during mincha. But there's no chiyuv. In other words, the chiyuv of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah and the whole chodesh is only rishus. On Rosh Hashanah, it's a mitzvah deraisa. In order to make that difference, a person should, in his mind should understand there's a chilik between rishus and chayva. And for that matter, in life in general, a person should understand there are things that are obligations and there are things that I'm in hagim. We have an entire day where we don't blow shofar to make that separation. And that serves a very powerful reminder for everything in life. You have to know the difference between Rishus and Chayva. Then there's the Kabbalistic reason why we do not blow Shofar, and that's unfortunately the only thing they teach children. And it's in order La'arvev HaSatan, in order to confuse the Satan. The Satan doesn't hear one day the Shofar, doesn't understand what's going on, why is there a break? He gets confused, he's thrown off mark, and then he's not going to be able to Mekatreg the following day. Okay, next topic. There's a very interesting thing to say Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah. Some have meant to say, in fact, to say the entire Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah. And why? Because there are how many parakim are there in Tehillim? 150. 150 multiplied by 2 is 100. Is 300. 300 is bigger. This is the Hepaiskim. It's Bigamatria Kaper. Kaper, atonement. So there is such a meaning. Those who are malumid in saying Tehillim, not everyone is accustomed to saying Tehillim, although there are people who have a knack at saying Tehillim. It's a very good idea on Rosh Hashanah to say Tehillim twice each day, to say the entire Tehillim.
I think
you say every single day you're supposed to say 10 kapitlach, right? And then there are serious made shul, it's worth of the Matei Ephraim. The Matei Ephraim says you're supposed to say Tehillim. He's supposed to say, there's a Seder, every day 10, then during our service made sure more to be Messiah and correct. After every tefillah, you say a certain number of something that is what it's put down in the Matei Ephraim. We don't do that, it's not Amalek. You don't see that today among your shuls. But people privately, it's a very good thing to say Tehillim. Okay, going to Slichas. A person said the most important part of Slichas is the Yud Gimel Midas Harachim, which means if a person is catching up, you came late, or you can't read as quickly as the Tzibur, and they come to the Yud Gimel Midas Harachim, you skip, and you're supposed to say it along with them. That is the most important thing. The next most important thing to say is Ashrei. If you come late to Slichas, do not skip Ashrei. Ashrei is the main, it's a Seder HaTzvila. Ashrei, psukim, to recite the Yud Gimel Midas Harachim, and to recite Tachanun. These are the Ikarim of Slichas. So you can skip many of the piyutim of Slichos, but do not skip Ashrei. And whenever the tzibur gets up to the Yud Gimel Midas Sarachanim, a person should join with the tzibur. A person lechatchila should stand for the entire Slichos that is brought down, except for Ashrei. Ashrei is supposed to sit for. But if a person cannot stand, at least a person should stand during the Yud Gimel Midas Yudgimel Midos Harachamim. Okay, there is a minigar of Rosh Hashanah to fast a half a day. Okay, even if you don't fast half a day, even to fast a few hours. There is such a minig not to have a cup of coffee before davening, and unless the person cannot daven without a cup of coffee, so then it's a different story, but there is definitely a minig to fast Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's before the Yom Adin, and basically you're fasting in advance. Really, we should fast on Rosh Hashanah, but being that we cannot fast on Rosh Hashanah, it's called the Yom Tov, so therefore you fast in advance. How long do you fast? L'chatchila, you should fast the entire day and break the fast a few moments before Rosh Hashanah. You don't fast the entire day, but you should fast as long as possible, which means an hour before Rosh Hashanah, you break your fast. You should not enter into Yom Tov in a state of tainus. But l'chatchila, you should fast most of the day in order to basically to make up for the fast that you should be fasting on Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom Hadin. On Yom Hadin, you're supposed to be fasting. It's a sakana. But we don't Yom Tov, so we do it in advance. You can't do the entire day, so do a half a day. You can't do that, so do something. A person at least should start off the day the best that he can in a state of tainus to recognize that today really should be a Yom Tainus. I can't fast it because I'm not strong enough, but the person should do something to show a recognition that it's a tainus. What would that be? If you can get away with not drinking a cup of coffee until after Shacharis, that would be a very wonderful thing. If you can't do that, so we know that when it comes to a tainus, a person who's fasting, when a person fasts, during, when a person cannot fast, you're not allowed to indulge. And if the tzibur is fasting and the doctor says, you have a right, I'm giving you permission to eat, you're not supposed to have gourmet meals. You're not supposed to go out to a restaurant. You're supposed to eat on a tainus, the bare minimum. I'm allowed to eat, so I eat, but nothing more than the bare minimum of what you need to eat to be healthy. The same thing is true when it comes to tainus and Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's really a Yom Tainus. And a person has to drink a cup of coffee, okay. But if you can do without the sugar, so do without the sugar. If you can do without two teaspoons of sugar and do one teaspoon of sugar, whatever it is, a person should do something on the morning of the tainus of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Ideally, fast the whole day. If you can't fast the whole day, until the end of the day, then do half a day. Can't do that? Do after Shachas. Can't even do that? So just don't have coffee. Don't have sugar in your coffee. Can't even do that? Have less sugar than you ordinarily have. Or have less coffee than you would ordinarily have. If you have the custom to eat something with your coffee, because that's how you are, you have no choice, so maybe today you can have the coffee without having something with the coffee to eat. Whatever it is, there should be a recognition that the day, that Erev Rosh Hashanah is the day that you are supposed to fast. And it's very interesting, in the report on the Mechaber, that it used to be the Chukas HaAmim to do this. Goyim, they would also fast before their holidays. And then we don't ever heard this in our generation, Goyim doing this, but it seems that in ancient times, when the Goyim, they would fast before their holidays. So in order that it should not be Chukas HaAmim, so there was a minig that people would get up very, very early and they would bedafke eat. They would bedafke eat before Alois HaShachar, before 72 minutes before sunrise. So they would eat, and then they would fast. Because Goyim, when they fast, the way they fast is, from the time they go to sleep, and then they don't eat until the end of until their holiday begins the following night. So in order that it should not be a violation of Chukas HaAmim, it should not appear to Chukas HaAmim, there was such an ancient minhag where people would get up in the middle of the night of Rosh Hashanah dafke to eat, and then to begin the fast with Alois HaShachar. Today that's unheard of. No one ever heard of this before. No one, the Goyim don't do this with Zman HaZeh, so no one hear about this. People would be bedafke eating before the Shachar, but yet it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that there is such a thing. We do not say Tachnon Erev Rosh Hashanah, but you do say Tachnon for Slichas. Slichas, the Tachnon that is said by Slichas, that is said even though it is Erev Rosh Hashanah. That Tachnon has nothing to do with the Tachnon. You do not say Rosh Hashanah. People make a mistake. They think that when they finish Slichas, they don't have to say Tachnon because Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's a mistake. The Tachnon is part of Slichas. That you do not get away with. You only get away with not saying Tachnon during the Nusach HaTzfila. There's a minig to go to a cemetery Erev Rosh Hashanah. Selechatil, you go to a Jewish cemetery, but B'dyevet is brought down, you even go to a non-Jewish cemetery to reflect upon the concept of the dead. Or if you're going to a Jewish cemetery, so then you can be mispalled by Kivur Tzadikim, they should come to your rescue, or whatever that's about. Person, Lechatil, is supposed to take a haircut Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you can't take a haircut Erev Rosh Hashanah, so you take it the week before in advance. Also, you're supposed to clean your clothing, to wash your clothing, launder your clothing, and you should put on, and you should put on, you should prepare beautiful clothing. Why do we take a haircut? Why do we have clean clothing? It's because we anticipate that we're going to be victorious. We anticipate that we will be successful in the Yom Hadin, and therefore. In anticipation for being successful on the Yom Hadin, we rejoice. We get a haircut and we wear freshly laundered clothing. The Mishnah Berurah says that in Rosh Hashanah itself, you should not wear your best suit. If you have two sets of clothing, two Shabbos suits, one Shabbos suit is better than the other, and you only wear that suit on very special occasions, and then you have a suit that's a Shabbos suit, you wear it every Shabbos, but it's not the same quality, on Rosh Hashanah you should wear your second best. Do not wear the best of the best, because it's still the Yom Hadin. On the Yom Hadin, you don't come to the Yom Hadin dressed up like going to a wedding. It's not a wedding. It's the Yom Hadin, but you have to still look respectful because it's Yom Tov, and you have to anticipate you'll be successful. Therefore, you should wear nice clothing, but not the nicest. Hataras Nidonim, we do have Rosh Hashanah. We had a whole discussion on the Chatchila. Hataras Dam should be done after Shachris, not before Shachris. It's a new minhag today to do Hataras Nidonim before Shachris, and many Pesachim say it's dead wrong to do that. We had a whole discussion on this topic. It's not the way it was done in ancient times. There's halachic issues because Hataras Dam is not necessarily a mitzvah, and you're not supposed to do things before you daven. Hataras Dam should be done after lechatchila, should be done after davening. You can have relatives. Relatives can be matir neder for you, and even the 13-year-old boys. Some people are makpid, they should have old people who are over the age, who are at least 18 years old. We know for sure they brought shtei Cyrus. Okay. Now, yeah.
What time does the fast start? The 24-hour fast.
The fast starts 72 minutes before sunrise, just like a regular fast.
If they're calling davening for 5 o'clock, if they eat before that.
If they're calling, so they're davening slichas, and the starting right. So the starting slichas at night. You can say slichas at night. Lechatchila, the ideal time to say slichas is chatzos, is midnight, 1 o'clock. That's the ideal time to say slichas. The second best time to say slichas is the beginning of the Ashmara. Okay, can you ask? Excuse me. How do we get his attention? How do we get this person's attention? Can we ask him to stop to go outside? Hmm? All right. So we come to slichos. So slichos again, slichos. The ideal, the fair. You can say slichos again. Like atchil, the ideal time slichos is when is chatzos, 1 o'clock. The next best time is the beginning of the third watch, which is the last third of the evening. B'diav, you can do slichos by day. Or the worst thing is to do slichos at night. When many people do slichos at night, 11 o'clock at night, you also can do slichos. But whatever you do, that's one issue. The slichos is one issue, and fasting is an entirely different issue. Fasting begins with alois hashachar, 72 minutes before sunrise. Okay, now, next issue is ataras nedarim. Who should be matin edus? So you need three people. It can be even your relatives. It can be even be done at night, b'diavad. If you do want to do it at night, you can do it at night as well. And the people who do it should be adults. You may not use a 12-year-old boy. The boy must be at least bar mitzvah. L'chatchil, the boy should be a little bit older. You know for a fact that he has brought shtei Cyrus, which is I guess, 15 to 18 years old. Another, some are makbid, you see this in some shoes, they do ataras to them with 10 people. I don't know where the number 10 comes from, but it's brought Ada. Down. What?
Ada.
Ada? What's an Ada have to do? What is that? Ataras to do with an Ada. I don't know, he brings down 10 people. In fact, in some shoes, we used to sing it, three people together. Every four people sit down, four people get in groups, they do ataras to them. In some shoes, they do it where half the shul faces the one end of the shul. I once saw this, where half the shul, everyone stands where they are, and the people in the front, they face the back, and they all together recite HaTorah Asnedarim, and everyone in the back then is Matir Neder. and then they reverse. The people in the back recite Taras to them, the people in the front, they're Matan Eder, so it takes a lot quicker. Okay, you only have to do it twice, everyone does it together, and the, also in the end, you have more than three people being Matan Eder, it's more than 10 people being Matan Neder. Okay,
Women
should also be Matan Eder. Women also need to be Matan Eder, and generally the husbands, when the husband is Matan Eder, the husband is Matan Eder on behalf of his wife. Okay, it's not in the Nusach, and it's some place can learn that it's assumed that when a husband is Matan Eder, he's also automatically being Matan Eder for his wife. Sometimes you'll see someone that's saying that I'm being Matan Eder for my wife as well, for my wife has children, so they mean not just themselves, they're also being Matan Eder for... They're also being matern neder for their wife. Okay. Next thing about Erev Rosh Hashanah, going to mikvah. The Mishnah Berurah says you should go to mikvah lechatchila, not before an hour before chatzos. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it's not proper to go to mikvah early in the morning. The ideal time is an hour before chatzos. Chatzos approximately 1 o'clock, so the earliest time to go to mikvah lechatchila would be 12 o'clock. That's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, and many places can quote this Mishnah Berurah. We have the good fortune of learning the Parades Yosef, where he quoted, he had a long discussion, and he says it's very hard to find the makar for this Mishnah Berurah, and b'diavad, if you want, you can go to mikvah early in the morning, there's no harm done if you go to mikvah early in the morning. Pukhazi ma'amadvar. Go out and see, it's very common. The mikvahs are packed already, 6 o'clock in the morning, people are going to mikvah, so the minig is not to be makbid on this Mishnah Berurah, not to go to mikvah before an hour before chatzos.
No, many of those that go to the mikvah in the morning go because they go every morning.
No, not necessarily.
Again.
And I respectfully disagree. I think a lot of people go to the Erev Rosh, they go once a year, twice a year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and they go early in the morning. They go to get it over with, and they go early in the morning. It's still clean, exactly. It's still clean, and it's just whatever. They go early in the morning, so people do this. People do this, and it's perfectly it's fine. Okay. The next issue is this year's Erev Tavshilin. Do not forget to make an Erev Tavshilin. This year you're going to have to make a total of 4 Erev Tavshilins. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Sukkis, twice on Sukkis. Sukkis, Shmini Atzeres, and then Pesach. The last day is the Pesach, or the first day is the Pesach, or one of the days is the Pesach. You're going to have to make a total of 4 Erev Tavshilins. Okay, I think that pretty much concludes. Also, the minute to give Erev Rosh Hashanah, the minute to give Tzedakah. There's a minig to give tzedakah. The greatest chus you can have going into the Yemei Hadin is to do chesed. Okay, chesed is the greatest chus, and as many chasadim as you can possibly do, this is something which accompanies a person through the Yemei Hadin. Okay, next. Now we go to the Yom Tov night. Is there an inyan of having an early Yom Tov, an early Rosh Hashanah, to start Rosh Hashanah early, just like you have an early Shabbos, and have an early Yom Tov? The answer is absolutely not. There is no such thing as Tosfos Rosh Hashanah. There's no such thing as Tosfos Yom when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Why is there no such thing as having an early Rosh Hashanah? Everyone is supposed to daven Rosh Hashanah Bizman. There's no excuse to daven Ma'ariv early on the night of Rosh Hashanah. It's not a good thing. Why not? Because you're not Makdim Din. The days of Elul, the 40 days of Elul, are days of Rachamim. Rosh Hashanah begins the 10 days of Tshuva, they are Yimei Hadin. If you begin Rosh Hashanah early, you're taking away from Rachamim and replacing it with Din. And that is not proper. It's not... What? Rosh Chodesh, you can't make Rosh... What do you mean Rosh Chodesh early?
Rosh Hashanah is...
It doesn't matter. There's no such thing as making Rosh Chodesh. It doesn't matter. You can daven Ma'ariv early, but it's not in the spirit. You're right. You can do it. Technically speaking, you can daven after Plag Mincha. You can really daven Ma'ariv Rosh Hashanah night. But it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do hashkafically and halachically, because there's no such thing as Tosfos Rosh Hashanah. Also, why? Because there's no such thing as Tosfos Shana. There are different reasons. I told you first the more Kabbalistic reasons, because it's not proper to take away from Rachamim. It's not right to take away from rachamim with din, to go and start Rosh Hashanah early, when you start Rosh Hashanah early, you are bringing din into the days of rachamim. That is not right, but there's other reasons, because there's no thing in halacha as being marach a year. You can add to Shabbos. This is a halacha derais of Tosfos Shabbos. There's a halacha derais of Tosfos Yom HaKippurim. But there's no such thing in our Torah as adding a year of Tosfos Shana to add, to extend the year past its natural breakpoints. So therefore, in Rosh Hashanah, we don't start Ma'ariv early. You start Ma'ariv Bizman, whatever the Zman your Zman is. If your Zman is 50 minutes, if it's 42 minutes, but it should be more than what you would do on a normal day of when you would daven Ma'ariv to recognize the Chomer Hadavar. Okay, when you begin Rosh Hashanah at night, the davening, of course, you know, you say HaMelech HaKadosh, a special nusach. It's almost impossible to make that mistake, because we daven a special nusach, and the nusach of the Siddur, it says HaMelech HaKadosh. If you forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh for whatever bizarre reason, Dan of Rosh Hashanah, we had a discussion, you do not necessarily need to repeat the Shemun Esrei. It's a machlekes apayskim, the Mishnah Berurah b'layim sarachin. If you need to repeat the Shemun Esrei, if you forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh. Now let's just use this moment as an opportunity to discuss the laws of HaMelech HaKadosh for the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. If a person forgets to say HaMelech HaKadosh, he has to repeat the entire Shemun Esrei. He brings that over here, if you forget the hey. Not only if you forget to say the entire expression, let's say you say Baruch Atah Hashem Melech HaKadosh instead of Ha Melech HaKadosh, or Melech HaMishpat instead of saying Ha Melech HaMishpat, you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. So you don't use that hey, but now when you say HaMelech HaMishpat, you're right. So what is it over here? Yemer HaMelech HaKadosh VeHaMelech HaMishpat V'Lo Melech HaKadosh VeOy Melech HaMishpat Ki Yesh Oymrim Shlo Yotza. Okay, you're right. Mikol Mokom B'Diyeved Ein Etzach L'Hachzer. You're right, I made a mistake. You don't have to repeat. Morgan, the Matei Ephraim says, you don't have to repeat. Ein Echanami B'Diyeved. You do not need to repeat the Shemun Esmer L'Chatchil. The person should be careful to say, the hay and not swallow the hay. Now there's a halacha. We all know that if you forget to say it, you say Hachel HaKadosh, or you forget to say Hachel HaKadosh. So what do? You have Toich Kidei Dibur, the clock is ticking. You have about 2-3 seconds of Toich Kidei Dibur, Shalom Olecha. Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri. So you have 2 seconds. You have the clock is ticking to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri, and therefore you can correct yourself within those 2 seconds. Now here's the question. What happens if you say HaMelech HaKadosh Ata? It's less than Toich Kidei. People don't know this halacha. It's a very important halacha. You say Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh, Atah. Can you still go back and say HaMelech HaKadosh? Is that Baruch Atah Hashem, HaKel HaKadosh, and then you say Atah. So here it's still within Toich Kidei Dibur, but you did not yet, but you already said the word Atah. So the halacha is, it's too late. You have to repeat the entire Shemona Esrei.
You said Baruch Atah?
No, you said Baruch Atah Hashem HaKel HaKadosh Atochonein. Oh, I made a mistake. Atochonein. Atochonein Dibar HaMelech HaKadosh. It's too late. The rule that you have Toich Kidei Dibur, the rule that you have Toich Kidei Dibur is only the rule of Toich Kidei Dibur is only when you did not yet start the next bracha. But if you did start the next bracha, then it's too late. You have to repeat the entire Shemona Esrei. Okay, so this is a very important halacha that many people do not know. It says it explicitly over here that if I read you the words over here, Imta Amar Hakel V'Loy Sima Kadosh V'Shah. Where would it say over here? Okay, it says it over here somewhere. I can't find it here this moment, but that's the halacha. That I'm certain that I saw this. That if you already say Asa, you have to be very careful to make sure you say HaMelech HaKadosh. Okay, we all know in Chazaras HaShatz we say the four lines of Zachreinu L'Chaim Melech Chofetz V'Chaim, and we say V'Chasfeinu M'Sev V'Chaim, V'Chasfeinu L'Chaim Tovim M'Sev V'Shalom. We all add these things into the Nusach of the Shmoyne Esrei. Do we say these things during Chazaras HaShatz? Now it is our minuk, right? It is our minuk that during the Chazaras HaShatz, during the Chazaras HaShatz, we respond and we say it first. We do all four. The Gra holds you should not do it.
Right.
The minhag Gra is you do not. That during Chazaras HaShatz the Shliach Tzibur says it, but the Tzibur does not respond in advance. That's the sheet of the Gra. There's another sheet that says you only should do it for the last two. You do not do it for the first two. What's the lumdis? The lumdis is because once already when we begin these tefillos, we say Zachreinu L'chaim. We just say L'chaim. We do not say L'chaim Toivim. Zachreinu L'chaim. What does it go? Zachreinu L'chaim. Melech Chofetz B'chaim V'chosfeinu B'sefer HaChaim. But we come to the end of Shmon Esher, we say B'sefer Chaim Toivim. So once already we go up. We start off on a low, and then you go in. Then you go into a high of l'chaim toivim. Once you've already said l'chaim toivim, it's not proper to go downgrade and go to zochreinu l'chaim. You only can go up. You cannot go down. So therefore, since you in your private Shmon Esrei start off by saying chaim, and then I've upgraded to Chayim Tovim, and now during the Chazaras HaShatz, if you're going to respond to the Tzibur, to the Shlich Tzibur, and you're going to preempt him, and you're going to say Nochmal, you're going to say Zochreinu L'Chayim Melech Chofetz B'Chayim, so you're downgrading. I just said at the end of my Shmona Esrei L'Chayim Tovim, and now I'm going down to L'Chayim. It's not proper to downgrade. Being that it's not proper to downgrade, there is such a minute that you do not respond to the first two. You do it the last two. So basically, there are three minhagim. There's al minug, that during Chazaras HaShatz we say all four. There's the minug hagro that says you do none. And then there's a minug that says you do the last two, but you do not do the first two, because doing the first two would be a downgrade from going from l'chaim toivim to l'chaim. Okay, so this is the different opinions. Okay, now let's go to. This year, Friday night. This year we have a triple header. We have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. We have Friday. Friday. When we say Mogin Ovois, so how do you conclude Hamelech Hakadosh? In the Nusach of the Mogin Ovois, you have to also change from Okel Hakadosh to Hamelech Hakadosh. What happens if the Shliach Tzibur makes a mistake? And it's more. It happens more often than you would think, because the Shliach Tzibur is not used to saying Melech HaKadosh, not used to this. Bless the Gabbai warns him. Let's say he makes a mistake and no one catches him. Does he have to repeat the Mogin Ovois? No. This is an exception to this. The only time when you may say Akel HaKadosh, you make a mistake. Instead of saying Melech HaKadosh, say Akel HaKadosh. You do not have to repeat, even though the whole idea of the Mogin Ovois is the Mogin Ovois. Is Chazaras HaShatz? What? You do what?
You do it because of the
who came late. You do it because of the Yechidim who came late. But even though you do it because of the Yechidim who came late to Shul, it still has the status of a Chazaras HaShatz to some degree. And therefore, a Chazaras HaShatz, if you do not say the proper news, so you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. So since the Shliach Tzibur made a mistake, and instead of saying Akel HaMelech HaKadosh or Akel HaKadosh, you would think that you need to repeat the entire section of the Mogin Ovois. Kamash Malon, you do not need to repeat the entire Mogin Ovois. Okay, let's now go to the next. We come to the little city, come to the night of Rosh Hashanah, so you make a Shechianu, And what else do you do when you wash? You wash, you make a kiddush, and after you make kiddush, so some people have the minhag immediately to dip the apple in the honey. You dip the apple in the honey, you make a borei pri ha'etz. When you make the borei pri ha'etz on the apple, make sure you do not have on the table the shivas haminim. Why not? Because the halach is, you're supposed to make a borei pri ha'etz on the shivas haminim before you make a bracha on an apple, so that's not from the shivas haminim. So therefore it is the minig, according to all opinions, I think all minhagim, the minig is to eat the apple first. So
it's,
what? It's brought down all many all the pious concerns. What? On the table when you make the apple? No, I don't think so. Is the apple chaviv? Even if it's chaviv, it's machloikis. It's machloikis. First of all, why is it chaviv? Who, an apple is more chaviv to you? Is more chaviv to you than pomegranate? Than other fruits? Not necessarily. And some hold that shiva samin of kedim over chaviv. So it's not a simple. It's not a simple matter at all. It's not a simple matter at all. Therefore, lechatchila, a person should not have on the table. A person is going to have simonim, and if he's going to have from his simonim things from the shiva saminim, a person should not have those things on the table when he recites the borei pri ha'etz for the apple, because it will be a zilzal in the bracha. The bracha should, according to some, should be on the shiva saminim, not on the apple. So therefore, do not have it on the table. So you make a bracha borei pri ha'etz, and you dip the apple in the honey, and then you eat the apple. And lechatchila, according to most poskim, you should say the yiratzayin after you take a bite, not before you take a bite. Because if you say the yiratzayin before you take a bite, according to some, it is a hafsek. Okay. To say it before you make the bracha, does not seem to be the ideal thing to do. And so the most common solution is, there are many minhagim, so you can't tell them when they're wrong. There are many minhagim, some even say the yiratzen before they eat, they take a bite. They make the bracha, and they say the yiratzen, and then they bite. But l'chayra, the most common minhag is to make the bracha, to eat a little piece, and then to say the yiratzen, and then to eat another piece. So that way, you're saying the yiratzen before you eat the apple dipped in the honey. Many people do this before they even wash. They make kiddush, and before they wash, that moment in time, they dip the apple in the honey. The apple is Kabbalistic. It's very Kabbalistic. It stands in the category above the simonim. It's very significant, so you do it right away. Do you make a bari nefasha? It's very, very tough shaila. Do you make a bari nefasha? So here is the answer to the question. If you're planning on eating more of the apple during the meal, no. If you're not planning on eating the apple anymore during the meal, then you should make a bari nefasha. Okay, so that's the rule. If you are from those who make the borei pri ha'etz before you wash, okay, some do not dip the apple in the honey until after they wash. But if you are from that category of people that do make the borei pri ha'etz and dip the apple in the honey after you make kiddush before you wash, and you do it in this procedure, you make the bracha, you first dip the apple in the honey, you make the bracha borei pri ha'etz, you eat a little piece, you say the hiratzen, then eat another piece. So the hiratzen is also juxtaposed to the eating of the apple in the honey. Now, think, are you going to eat more apple dipped in honey during the meal? I guess it would be ideal that you should. That way, you do not get into the shiloh of a bracha she'en etzricha. That way, you do not need to make a bur in the fashas. And then the birchas hamazon will cover because you're going to eat more during the meal. But if you're not planning on eating more apple during the meal, then you have to make at this moment in time a bur in the fashas. Okay, then most people, yeah? No. It depends. Some do. Most people, what I've seen, most people, then they wash. You eat hamoitzi. You dip the bread in the bread in the honey, and you also dip the bread in the salt. Which one do you do first? It's also a whole shayla. I don't remember. I think you dip it. Some only do honey. Some do not do salt. Some do. You told the Rabbi Shrabi had two pieces, two separate pieces. Some do one, the other side. Also, I didn't realize which one do you do first. Tadir v'she'ena tadir. Tadir v'she'ena tadir. They say over here, Meishra Glitvol as Achar. They say, I hear, I saw somebody tells you which one you should do first. I don't remember which one you do first. I don't know.
No.
When you dip the bread, the chal in the honey, no. When you dip the apple in the honey, you say, Ashanas Toivu Mesuka. Then you do. When you dip the chal in the honey, you do. There's no. You say it also?
Some do.
Okay.
They
say, Ashanas Toivu Mesuka? Okay. I don't. Yeah.
If you took all the sugar something off the table and you bring it back,
you should
make another
bracha. What? Say it again?
If you bring the Shiva Saminim back to the table.
Yeah, so now you're not in a Hanami. So now you're going to need, if you need another, that's right, you're going to need to make another Bari Parade. So that's why it's ideal in Yishav Kavana that you're going to eat more apple during the meal. That's a very important halacha. People don't follow these rules. If you're not going to eat any more apple, you have to make a Bari Nefashos. And that means you're going to have to make another Bari Parade. However, if you plan to eat more of the apple during the meal, then you do not need to make another Bari Parah Eitz on the Shiva Saminim. You just can eat the Shiva Saminim without
the table,
what? It doesn't matter, you have Kavana. It doesn't matter, you're right, it is not on the table. You have to have Kavana. You're saying very good. He actually says that when you go and you make the Bari Parah Eitz on the apple, you have to have Kavana. You have to have Kavana that you will eat the Shiva Saminim. Very, very good. When you make the first Bari Parah Eitz, you have Kavana, you're going to
eat the Shiva Saminim.
Yes.
You might as well eat the Shiva Saminim.
No, because you're not, because Kiddush has to be next. Kiddush, Samuch, you have to have Kiddush B'mokim Su'uda. Kiddush B'mokim Su'uda. You're not allowed to be mavtik in the Kiddush and the Su'uda. So having the Shiva Saminim now and going to the whole Chagadya is not the ideal thing to do before you have the Su'uda. So you should wash immediately. In fact, some people they eat the apple and the honey after they wash. My father's Chalal Levrach, he ate it after. He didn't do it before, he did it afterwards. So then you eat, you wash, and you dip the bread in the honey and in the salt, and you say Shana Tovah Masukah, and now you bring out the Simonim. You bring out the Simonim, and you make, if you already made the Bari Parah Eitz, so you're already done with the Bari Parah Eitz. If you're now going to eat the apple, so do the apple first, and do not bring out the Shiva Saminim. So the bracha, you should not embarrass the Shiva Saminim by making a bracha on an apple before the Shiva Saminim. And then you bring out the Shiva Saminim, and you dip them all and you eat them, whatever your minig is, and you say the Yiratzon. You should say the Yiratzon before you eat. If you already made the bracha, so you don't need to make the bracha, so you just say the Yiratzon. If you have to make a bracha, shahakol. Okay, if you have these exotic things, even a shahakol, all of the simonim according to all the poskim are dvarim that are not eaten machmas asuda. They're not nechal machmas. They're not nechal machmas asuda. Therefore, if they're not nechal machmas asuda. So you need a bracha, no matter what, a shahakal, ho adama, ho eitz, whatever it is, and you have to follow the rules of the order of which bracha comes first, which has kedima, chavav, not chavav, v'chulu, and l'chatchila, you should say the yiratzon before you eat it. If you have to make the bracha, you can, so then you make the bracha first, and you eat it, and then you say the yiratzon, and then you should eat another piece again. So the yiratzon is chal. Yes?
Everyone makes all these brachas?
Yes, everyone's supposed to make these brachas, of course. If you have, there's no question, it's not part of the Suda. You never would do this if not for the Simonim. It's
so
not part of the Suda.
You have to make a Hadamah.
You have to make all the brachas. If you have, people have exotic things, well, they make a shahakal on these. Everyone has different minhagim. Whatever you do, you have to make a brach on every single one of these things, because
I eat a latke, I have to make a shahakal.
That's right. A latke is Hadamah. What latke? What kind of latke are you eating? A Pesach halal. What? Yeah, I think it's a legal chayus to Adama. But if you have I have candy. I have candy. It's a sin. I have a shana smesuka. I like candy. You make a shahakal. Anything that you do that is for the purpose of simply make a shahak, you make a bracha, and you say the hiratzai. Now, let's say you're allergic or you don't like it. I don't want it. I'm afraid to eat it. Well, I'm suspicious there are bugs. So then, just looking at it is enough. You can say the Yiratzon just by looking at it, and someone, you can even say Hashem's name. You look at it, and you can say Yiratzon, Melefanach Hashem Elokeinu, Melokei Avoseinu, whatever this one you want to say, that the zchus of eating this, I should be successful, I shall wipe out all my enemies, whatever it is. Now, what happens if you don't have it? You don't have a head of a fish, and you don't have a pomegranate, and you don't have a date, and you don't have all these things, so guess what? You can still say the Yiratzon, and you still should say the Yiratzon, can you imagine? But just do not say Hashem's name. If you don't have all of these things, it's still a minute to say the Yiratzon that you should wish for yourself. Why not? You should wish for yourself and your family all of these things. What?
You take the tribe, they send you the man.
That's right, and you say it all. You say, but don't say Hashem's name. Do not say Hashem's name. Okay, so that pretty much is then after that, after you finish all the simonim, now you begin your meal, and that's it. You begin your meal, and there's nothing more to do. So let's review very, very quickly what everything we said until now about the meal. Which is, again, you come home, the first thing you do is you make kiddush, or you want to bless your children. Okay, there's a very beginning to be mavarach your children. And I also forgot to mention, mincha. Mincha, do not come late. Do not come late to the last mincha of the year. And if the minhag is to daven the last mincha of the year very slowly with a lot of kavana, hakol hoylech achar hagmar. The last mincha of the year is a very important mincha. You come home, birchas habanim, lakas neros, lahalik ner shal yomtiv. Ma'ariv is to be done late, because the yomtiv is a yom hadin. Until now we are yimei rachamim. Do not take away from yimei rachamim with din. There's no din of tais v'shana. There's no din of Taisvis Rosh Hashanah. There's no din of Taisvis din. No such thing. Only Shabbos, Yom Kippur have a din of Taisvis. There's no din of Shemitah also as Taisvis Shemitah. But there's no such thing as a Taisvis when it comes to the Yimei HaDin. So therefore, the later you daven, the better. You come home, Birchas Habonim, and then you make Kiddush. After Kiddush, it is the common minug that you immediately dip the apple in the honey. The only thing on the table should be the apple. All of the other fruit should be away, so there should not be a shaila of giving the bracha, the embarrassing of the shivas hamin by not giving it its bracha. You dip the apple in the honey, you make a bari prior eitz, you eat the apple, you give everyone a slice of apple, everyone can make their own bari prior eitz, and then you say the hiras, and then you eat another little piece of apple. And you have kavana, that the bracha bari prior eitz is going on all of the eitz that I'm going to eat for my simon later in the meal. And you also have kavana that I'm going to eat more apple during the meal, so I should not now need a bracha acharoin of a bari nefashas. After the ceremony is over, you then go to wash quickly. Don't delay. That kiddush b'makom suda. No playing games here. You go wash immediately. You wash. You break the challah. Special types of challahs. They're round challahs in Rosh Hashanah with raisins. All of these are kabbalistic and yonim. I have no idea what this is about. It's infinite. What?
Breakaway challahs.
Chves. You have challahs. Special challahs. And then you make hamaitzi. You dip the hamaitzi in the honey. And some also dip it in salt, or at least have salt on the table. Even if you're not dipping salt on the table, some dip one end of the challah in the honey and the other end in salt. Three times in salt, only one time in honey. Doesn't say anywhere dip three times in honey. You dip in honey once. Do you dip or do you apply honey? I don't know. Is there any of dipping in honey? I'm not sure. You have to dip it in honey? No, just apply honey.
It doesn't work.
When it comes to challah, there's to dip. You dip the challah in salt. I don't think there's any of dipping in the honey. You apply honey to the challah, and you eat the challah, and then after you can say, Shana Toivu Mesukah. Yiratzim Lufanecha Shetehei Lanu Shana Toivu Mesukah. Shechadish Aleinu Shana Toivu Mesukah. And then you bring out the simonim. You bring out this, and you already made a bari prior eight, so that you don't need to do. But you need to make a bari prior adama when you need to. You need to make a shahakal, and you should not be mafsik between the bracha and the eating of these special macholim. You should not be mafsik, and after you eat it, you should say the yiratzim immediately, and then if you can, eat another little teeny piece. And that's it. And those are the simonim, and then you proceed with the su'uda. During the su'uda, we know there are no nuts. Don't eat nuts. Nuts should not be served, because nuts begematria chait without the aleph, and you do not have grapes for dessert. Grapes are a no-no on Rosh Hashanah, and you're not supposed to have anything spicy. Nothing spicy. Nothing very sharp. It's not a good. It's not a no. It seems it's not. You're not even if you like it. It seems it's not the right thing. It's just brought down. Double chaimet. It's something that's very sharp. It's not. Not a good thing. Chaimet
is
chaimet. What does chaimet? What does it mean?
That's what they have now.
Vinegar. Okay, I don't know. Each to his own. Whatever your minig is, whatever you did last year, keep on doing. And then benching. If you forget to say Yalav Yavo in benching, you got to repeat the Yalav Yavo. Doesn't make a difference. Even though it doesn't matter, because the Chi of Suda, the night of Rosh Hashanah, there's a Chi of Suda, so you must repeat the Yiddish Birchas Hamazon. If you forget to say Yale V'Yavoy in Birchas Hamazon. Okay, the second night of Rosh Hashanah. Let's now jump 24 hours. What? Halakas and Eris, like regular. Halakas and Eris should be done 18 minutes before sunset, like regular. It's a regular. 18 minutes before sunset is Halakas and Eris. And Al Halak Ner Shell. Rosh, what did he say? Shall we Rosh Hashanah, right? Yom HaZikaron, a special nusach. It's a special nusach, not to forget. Lahalik Ner Shal Yom HaZikaron. It's not the nusach national yom. It's a special, unique nusach for Rosh Hashanah. It's a very interesting inyan of lighting neros on Rosh Hashanah. Why, in fact, v'chlal we light neros on Yom Tov, and Yom Tov, why we light neros on Rosh Hashanah? But that, of course, is the minig davar pashut. Now, the second night of Rosh Hashanah, do you do the simonim? Different minhagim. Some do, some do not. I saw, I think, Abul Yashav, he did the simonim by all four meals. By the lunch meals as well, he did the simonim. So some do the simonim on all four meals, some only do the simonim on the first meal, and some do it both meals. But the difference is, the second night of Rosh Hashanah is you have to have a shechiyah, not have to, but you should have l'chatchila a shechiyanu fruit. So when you make, what? That you did not have last night, right? You did not have last night. You have to have a special fruit that was put away in secret or somewhere in hiding. No one ever saw this before. And it's brought to the table, and it should be on the table. This is very important. It's, oh, where's the shechiyanu? Oh, it's in the refrigerator. Oh, I forgot to bring it out. Then you missed the boat. You missed the boat. The shechiyanu has to be on the table during kiddush. When you recite kiddush, the shechiyanu food must be present on the table. So when you make the shechiyanu, you look at the shechiyanu food, because the truth is, nikar hadin, when you make a shechiyanu, it's not eating. People make that mistake. You do not make a shechiyanu when you eat. You make a shechiyanu when you see a new fruit. When you see a new fruit. So therefore, you should see on the table this new fruit, and you should make the and you make kiddush, and you make the shechiyanu, and then during the meal. At some, not before washing, you wash. Don't eat the shechiyanu right away. That's not that. Some do that, but that does not appear to be the mainstream. You make kiddush and you wash, and the shechiyanu fruit is on the table, and you eat it. You eat the fruit. Do you make a bari per eitz? Very tough question. That's a very tough question. Is a machmas asuda? The simonim are not machmas asuda. So you definitely make a bracha on the simonim, but on the new fruit. It's a tough shaila because it's a fruit. What?
So you made
the having it on the second night. Are you having the apple the second night?
Yes.
Dip the apple in the honey.
Yes.
Is that your minuk?
Yes.
Okay. So that's and you're finished and you're okay. Then you're done. Then you're good. Then you're good to go. But if you don't have the minuk, you made the bari because the apple is definitely not machmas asud. If you're doing the apple on the second night as well. No, that's not true, because it's a different purpose. The shechiyanu, you're having a new food during your meal. During the meal, I have appetizers. I have fruit for appetizers. You have an appetizer for that. That's part of the seder in America.
If you have kombu.
What?
If you have kombu. Fruit, kombu.
Yeah.
You make it by also.
That's the dessert. That's dessert. Appetizers, you generally do not make a bracha. An appetizer, generally there's no bracha. There are different opinions, different minhagim. Dessert, you do make a bracha. Dessert is dessert. Mezoinos is another shayla. Mezoinos became a whole new matter. Rav Moshe holds that you don't make a mezoinos for a dessert. Mezoinos. Rav Moshe holds that our standards have changed in time. When you serve mezoinos for dessert, that means the meal is not over yet. When you're serving ice cream, when you're serving some type of fruit, that's already a different environment. It means the meal is over and this is dessert, so then you do make a bracha, according to Rav Moshe. Others disagree, some hold that you make a mezonos on dessert as well, but that's dessert. Appetizers, you don't make a bracha. I'm sorry, you don't make a bracha. Now here's a shaila. When you have a new fruit, the new fruit really is part of the meal. It's part of the meal. There's no need to make a borei prehoitz. And you're going to say, but it's not, it's bo machmas, it's dover, it's shaloi bo machmas asuda, because it's so exotic and it's only here to make a shechiyanu. Maybe, that this is an individual, this is a tough call in halacha. Do you make a bori prior eitz on a new food? What I've seen is you do not, because the new food is part of the meal. It's an appetizer. I'm a mela. You're not. You don't make a bracha. And especially, of course, if you made the bari per eitz on the apple, which you for sure make, because that's not bo machmas asuda, and that's done before you make the hamoitzi, according to many. So then you're ready. You save yourself all the problems. But if you do not have an apple the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and you're having a new fruit, you can view it as an appetizer. And the mela, you do not make a bari per eitz, and the shechiyanu you made is okay. What happens if you forgot to buy a new fruit? Forgot. No new fruit is forgot. Well, you ate it the first night. It's okay. Life goes on. The world will continue to spin on its axis. You don't have to worry. You can still make the shechiyanu on kiddush. When you make kiddush, you can still make the shechiyanu. And you won't have a new fruit. The world will go on. No harm done. Okay? Shechiyanu the second night is the same. If you forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, there is no question, you have to repeat over the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, and Tashlich, when do you go to Tashlich? The first day of Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah? The first day Rosh Hashanah, right? Most of the time we go the first day Rosh Hashanah?
Neither.
None of the above. Okay, and we'll have to continue the laws of Shofar tomorrow. Okay, right now we'll take a short break, and then we'll talk some other machshav, yoni machshava. Well, no, I want to talk about the makri. The makri we'll talk for a few minutes after our short break.